If there's one thing that I dread coming to other churches and preaching, it's not the people. It's not what I'm about to say. You know what I dread about coming to another church and preach? The height of the pulpit. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I'm drowning. So that's one thing I'm afraid. But you know, Filipinos, we're short, right? One thing is also we are flat nosed, right? Have you noticed, right? And the other thing about Filipinos is we're always late, right? Say yes. Say amen to that. Okay. So we're always late. You know, there's a reason for that. There's the connection. Flat nose, late. You want to know the story? Okay. During that time that the Lord was handing out noses, He announced, okay, I'm going to give you your nose. All right? So you come at this time, I'm going to hand out your noses to you. The Americans, they're very punctual. Came on time, got them their noses. Nose right there. Canadians, they're punctual with their time. They were there on time. God gave them their noses. Filipinos, they were late. And so when God said, gave them their noses, here's your noses. Why is this flat? Because they were at the bottom. You were late. You got the nose from the bottom. That's why it's flat. Amen. So now you know the story. I don't know about Filipino time. You know, we call that Filipino time. Even our national flag carrier, it's called PAL, Philippine Airlines, PAL. You know what it means? Plane always late. It's keeping up to its name. Amen. All right, so I thank God for the opportunity. And, you know, in our church, we don't care about time, but, you know, I'm preaching here, so I would care about time. I always stand between people and their lunch, right? So every time I preach long in our church, people look at me like I'm lechon already. So when they look at me with a look that says, I'm hungry, I just rush on with my message. But I guarantee you, we're going to have a good time of eating. Amen. Filipino food. I just love Filipino food. Amen. And so thank you so much, Pastor Johnson, for having this Filipino Sunday. Our church is 99% Filipinos. All right. And so you come to our church, you have a taste of Filipino. I'm going to give a message that would apply really to Filipinos. And Filipinos, they come to Canada. We came to Canada. I came to Canada in 2003, right? And most of the reasons why we come here is economical. We want a better life ourselves. And I guess that applies not only to us Filipinos, but to most immigrants who would come to Canada. A better place for a family to raise. You know, and in my case, I wanted to have a better future for my children, better opportunities, and you know, for them to experience having an better opportunity. You know, being able to see the world, because once you have a Canadian passport, you're allowed in most countries. Unlike if you're only you only have a Philippine passport, you're limited to some countries you can go to. So I wanted that for my children, right? We want a better life for ourselves. But most of the time, immigrants come to Canada, they forget about their spiritual lives, and instead of having a better life for themselves, their families are destroyed. Their children are destroyed. And I'm talking to believers. Believers who need to see their children grow spiritually. And the one thing that we need we ought not to neglect is our spiritual lives. You know, we want a better life for ourselves. We want riches and material things. When I came here, I'm no exemption. I wanted to continue my practice as a civil engineer here in Canada. And my aim is to be the best civil engineer I can be here in Canada. 2003, I came here because I was a civil engineer in immigration law during that time. If you are a professional, you're qualified. So I was qualified. I came here, and I was pursuing my PEO, Professional Engineers Ontario. But the Lord changed the course of my life. He called me to be a pastor. And so, when God called me, He got a hold of my life. And what I have known all my life as a professional, everything changed because now my desire is to serve God. And I look back at the time and I said, I'm going to come to Canada. I'm going to be rich here. And I'm going to get all the riches I can. So now I will talk about true riches from God. Amen. Some pastors would come to me, and I have to be honest here, right? Some pastors, Canadian pastors, American pastors would come to me because I'm Filipino. And he would ask me, Pastor Romano, you're a Filipino. Yes, I am. See, I have Filipinos in my church, and some of them will come to church. The next Sunday, they're gone. Or they're just going to be there a few Sundays, and then they'll be gone. And they'll tell me that they have to work on Sunday. Is that how it is with Filipinos? And I said, yes. You know, they'll work and work and work and work. And that's something I'm working on our church. Have a different mindset about our life here in Canada. It's not about making money anymore. You know, I tell them, you're here in Canada now for a purpose. You're part of this church for a purpose. And I believe that is not to make yourself rich, but for us to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. I'm not saying that you ought to be poor. But listen, I'm going to explain to you here in my message this morning what it is to be truly rich in God. I don't believe in prosperity gospel. No, I don't. But I do believe in true riches. Because the Bible speaks of riches. Amen? The Bible speaks of what it is to be truly rich in God. So, if you have your Bibles, open to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, in our church, we stand up and we read the Word of God. I'm missing my church. If you don't want me to miss the church, because in our church, our people smile. Yeah. I tell them, if you're a Christian, you should smile. Because you're going to heaven. Amen. Amen. How many of you are on a cruise and you're frowning? You are on a tour and you're frowning. Of course, you're excited, you smile, right? If you're on your way to heaven, you smile. Amen. And you are in the company of God's people. You're not with enemies. Amen. So, I feel at home in our church, they say amen. So, if you feel like saying amen, say amen. Amen. That would make me feel at home. Amen. So, shall we all stand up, please, and open to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll be reading verse 1 to 9. We're going to read this responsibly again. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. And this they did not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So
Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now, dear God, for thy Holy Spirit to lead us, dear God, and give us understanding of your word. I pray, dear God, that you will speak to each and every one in a special way. Meet our needs, dear God. Meet our spiritual needs today. And I pray, dear God, that the High Spirit, dear Lord, would stir our hearts today. And may we, O Lord, as we look upon your holy word, lift you up high in our midst in worship. We praise thee and thank thee, O God, for the opportunity to worship thee, O God, in a free country. And I pray, dear God, that you would just help us, dear Lord, as we look upon your word and feast upon it, dear God, that we may grow and mature as your children. We praise thee and thank thee, O Lord, for it's in Jesus' name we pray all those things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. True riches. I'm going to speak to you about true riches. Here, Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthian Christians. And as he would speak to the Corinthian Christians, he would use the example of the Macedonian Christians, who are known to be very liberal, who are known to be givers from God. And he was trying to teach the Corinthian Christians, who I believe is a very carnal church. Okay? You see, churches are different too. There are some carnal churches, there are some spiritual churches, and there are some liberal churches. And so Apostle Paul was using the Macedonian churches as an example for the Corinthian church. How that even in their poverty, even if they're poor, they were rich. Amen. They were liberal in their giving. And so Apostle Paul was telling to them, look at these people. They are in deep poverty and yet they are liberal. And what he's saying to those Christians is that they may be poor in your standard, but listen, they are rich. They are rich before God. So this morning, let's talk about true riches. And I God laid upon my heart to preach this message because many of us here have lost sight of the reason why we are here as Christians. You know, if God wanted us just to bring, you know, just to bring us to heaven, then once we get saved, we go to heaven. Right? But God allowed us to stay here. You know? Why? Because God wants us to serve Him. There is a purpose why we linger here on earth as pilgrims of this world. And I do believe that not making ourselves rich is one of them. But listen, I'm not anti-rich. I believe that if God wants to make you rich, He will. And I do believe in true riches. You know, our church needs money. Amen. We need to move to a bigger place. We need to buy property if we can. And you know, Toronto is just so expensive. So if you have money, you want to give it to me, I'll take it. I'm not against money. Amen? But I don't love money. I use money as a tool so that I can glorify God. Amen. Listen, God wants to make you rich. God wants to bless your life. It's because He wants you to glorify Him. Amen. Not to make yourself rich and be proud about it. Amen? Because if you get rich and you become proud, then that's not true riches. And as I explained to you in my message here this morning. So first of all, I'd like to tell you here that there are certain riches that are not true riches. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 7, the Bible says, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." How is that so? How is that so when you are poor and yet you have great riches? As I'm telling you right now, the riches that come from God are the true riches. You ask me, Pastor, are you rich? Yes, I am. Amen. Boy, I'm rich. Huh? What kind of car do you drive? Toyota. Takes me from point A to point B. I don't need to have a Mercedes Benz to call myself rich. Amen? I'm wearing a barong. How much is that? In Canadian equivalency, probably $40. Not even $140. $40. Amen? But boy, I can tell you, I feel rich, Brother Johnson. I feel rich today. I used to tell our folks, you know, I can go by with tuyo. Tuyo is dried fish. In the Philippines, we call that magdidil-dil sa tuyo. It means get by with dried fish. And I said to them, I cannot make that as an example here in Canada because tuyo here is expensive. Yeah. So I have to tell them, you know, if I have just to eat, I'm going to eat, you know, I can get by with spam, probably. Right? Especially when they're on sale at No Frills, $1 a can. But if I eat that with thanksgiving in my heart, boy, I feel so rich. I don't have to eat those caviar and all those. But first, there was a time I didn't know what caviar is. Caviar, right? The food of the rich. And I tried to look it up, what caviar is. It's egg fish. Fish egg. Yeah. So I said, what's great about this? I throw that away when I eat fish. There are certain riches that are not true riches. The world can give you riches, but they are not true riches. Just like what I read to you in Proverbs 13. There are some riches that the Bible says will not give you peace. There are some riches that will just bring you misery in your life. Especially when you want those things, when you love those things, it will bring you misery. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted, they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I know some people, they have things in life, they have business, but they don't have peace. You know, they don't have peace. Why? Because their minds are occupied with getting more. You know, that's the problem with material things. That's the problem with worldly riches. Once you have some, you want some more. But the kind of riches that God gives to us is riches that makes us satisfied. Riches that makes us want to thank God. Riches that want to make us glorify God for what we have. Amen? You know what I do? I enjoy the things that I have. There are not many of them, but I try to enjoy all the things that I have instead of coveting for something that I don't have. And what does that do to me? It gives me contentment. It gives me joy. I'm content with everything I have. I'm content with my wife. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to replace her for any lady.
Amen.
I'm content. Amen?
Come on.
I'm content with my children. They're not the best children in the world, but yay. Those are the children that God gave to me. I'm content with the home I'm living in. Amen? I'm content with the church that God gave to me. Everything that God gave to me is good. All good things come from God, from above. Amen. So we're thankful to the Lord because those are true riches. But there are certain riches that are not true riches. It is not true riches when it leads you to pride. Okay? So we ought to be careful, folks, when we begin to have things, that instead of that humbling us, we become proud. First time I went to the States in 1994. First time my wife and I went to the States, excited, right? First time out of the country, and we went to the States. So excited. And every Filipino we meet, we say, hello, kumusta? Kabayan, kabayan. To our surprise, some of them don't want to talk to us. And I would speak to them in Tagalog, they'll speak to me in English. Excuse me? Do I know you? I just want to start, have some conversation. And it came to my mind, you know, that these people, have changed.
Yeah.
They've changed their attitudes. You go to the Philippines, you won't see a snub. People will talk to you. Amen? One time I was asking for a direction. I asked one guy, can you tell me which way to go to? So he was showing me direction. One guy came in. No, 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 it's that way. Then another guy came in. And before I got the right direction, I have about half a dozen people telling me one simple direction. But those people I'm telling you about, they change. Why? Because they thought they're in America, they're earning dollars instead of pesos. I must be up there. If your riches will make you proud, I'm telling you right now, those are not true riches. True riches will make us humble because we know where that came from. It came from God. It's not true riches when it leads to violence. You know, people fight for money. Right? Even brothers and sisters would fight for money. I tell you, for me, relationship is more important than money. Money you can still earn. You lose money, you can still earn money. You lose relationship, that is more important. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. I have brothers and sisters. They are irreplaceable. I have parents. They are irreplaceable. Right? I cannot go to a place and I want another parent. No. We have only one set of parents. Amen? Money, you can always replace that. And you know what? If you spend money for the work of the Lord, if you spend money for good purpose, listen, God will replace that with more. That's the promise of God to us. Amen? The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Right? And God gives hundredfold when He gives it back to us. It is not true riches when it causes you to become corrupt. Riches that makes you want more is not true riches. Like I said, because riches that are of this world will make you more worldly. True riches will make you to give more to God. And people will do anything just to have more. People who are beholden to wealth and material things are most likely to become corrupt. Riches that destroys your values and principles are not true riches. I tell our people in our church, I tell them, you know, you are a member of this church because you love the Lord. Amen. And I look at every member here the same. The Bible says, the Lord said, you know, somebody comes to your church in gay clothing, back in the time when the word gay is, you know, means happy or nice dress, and you give them the best seat in the house. Right? We ought to treat people alike, especially children of God. We're all the same in the Lord. Amen? So in our church, I tell this to my members. I treat every member the same. I don't care how much you give. We're still the same in the Lord. Amen? And I told them, as much as possible, I don't want to know what you're giving. Because I want to treat everybody the same. Amen? It's not to say there are some pastors who, you know, treat people differently based on their giving. Even pastors are not exempt, you know, from taking a wrong view of money. Amen? And I tell you this, in fact, in our church, the people that are not so wealthy are the people that are truly giving. Because they're not attached to their money. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Riches that destroys our values. I remember when I was working as a construction manager, and I'm the top guy in the job site. I'm the construction manager, and sometimes I would ask contractors to bid out on some items of work. So one time we bid out a painting job, and here's this guy. he came up to me and he told me, here's our bid for the painting job. And I said, why is this two envelopes right here? I just need one bid. And he told me, well, the first envelope is our real bid. And the second envelope is a bid with something for the boys. So I told him, why don't you just give me the real bid? Or else I'm going to slap this in your face. You know, and he wasn't afraid to say that to me because he is the nephew of my boss in the office. And I said, I don't care who your uncle is. You give me the right bid or else I'll disqualify you. Listen, those riches make you corrupt. Those are not true riches. Riches makes us humble. It is not true riches when it makes you oppressive and boastful. You know, people who think they're rich think they are entitled to oppress other people. Now that's a problem with people, right? You think that you have riches, you now are entitled, you now have authority. There are some churches that have rich people and they think because of their riches they have more authority than the pastor. Listen, that's not the case. We have to have people who understand what true riches is. It's not true riches when that riches will lead you to your downfall. You know, the riches of this world can never be our protection. We cannot make money our security. Amen? You cannot make your property your security. You think you own your home? No, if you're still in mortgage, the bank owns that, right? Once you fully paid your house, do you think you still own that? You have to pay property tax all the rest of your life and until that house is there. Amen? Do you understand? We don't have anything in this world. It's not true riches when that riches will lead you to your downfall. The riches of this world is but a fantasy and a myth that many people believe in. So there are some riches that are not true riches. And we ought to be careful to get into the trap of those riches. But I'm telling you, there are true riches. And there are true riches that the Lord promises to give. Amen? Now the Bible speaks of riches. Don't get me wrong. Amen? God speaks about riches. Riches. The Bible says, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he added no sorrow to it. How about that? Amen? Amen. The blessing of the Lord make it rich. And he added no sorrow to it. And I believe that riches the Bible is speaking about is riches that's coming from God. And that's the kind of riches that I would like to have for my life. Amen? Amen? These are the true riches. It is God that gives us power to get wealth. I was talking to one person who said, you know, why would I give to God? Because the money I have, I worked for it. I labored for it. Why should I give? Huh? I made this money. And I said, who gave you the brains? Huh? Don't you know that God can just snap his finger and your brains are gone? So even if you labor for your money, even if you work for it, listen, it is God who gave you the ability to make wealth. That's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. True riches will make us to always remember God. True riches will make us to be always be truthful to our commitment to Him. You know, I was telling you that pastors asked me about Filipinos having two jobs, triple jobs, to the point of missing church. Listen, I know that's something that's hard to teach, right? Because people will tell me, Pastor, you don't know how it is to be poor. Don't tell me about poor. we were poor as dirt growing up. There were 13 of us in our family, and we were poor. But listen, when I knew the Lord in my heart, I began to understand what true riches is. There is wisdom in what the Bible says, having food and raiment therewith to be content. Contentment with godliness is great gain indeed. I'm not trying to boast, but some of our members in our church, they would turn down jobs just because they won't be able to worship God on Sunday. And some would even turn down jobs because they won't be able to attend Wednesday prayer meeting. And there were even some members who would turn down jobs because they wouldn't be able to practice in the choir on Saturday. They had something that they understood that some of us don't understand yet. There's something about serving God and putting God first more than anything else in this world. Because you know what? If you trust God, you turn down one job, God will give you another one, and probably it's a better one. Growing up as a Christian, I got a new job. Back in the Philippines, I think it's my second or third job. It's a prestigious job. They got cement factory. They have their factories in the countryside. And so my first week in the job, the president called me in his office. And he told me, "I want you to visit our plant and go there, you know, just get a tour of our plant. Go there on Sunday. I want you to go there." Right? And I said to him, "Sir, I don't work on Sunday because I'm on church on Sunday." First week on the job, talking to the president, telling him, "I don't work on Sunday, I go to church on Sunday." There was a long pause. And I said to myself, "There goes my job. Gonna look for another one." There was a long pause. And you know what he said? "I also go to church on Sunday. So why don't you go there Saturday? That's fine." No amen on that? And I got to keep the job. You know what happens? Here's my experience with some of our members who would tell their employers that they don't work on Sunday. Listen to me. They got more respect from their employer. This is a man who values his God. He must be an honest man. Those are the kind of people I want in my company. But if you let fear control you and your decisions, listen, there is no fear in love. Amen? We just simply have to trust God. Working as a professional, I never had a time where I don't have a job. I'm not trying to boast. I'm just telling you that God honors His word. Listen, in our Christian lives, it's not about what we have done. It's not about how good we are. No. Listen to me. And this is very important. It's not about what you have done, what you have accomplished, that God will give it to you. You know what? God is honoring His word. God is honoring His promises to us. So it's not about what we have done or how good a Christian we are. It's all about the promise of God. Because God honors His word. Amen. The Bible says, "He that honors God, God will also honor." And that is something that I claim in my life. I never had a time that I am unemployed because God always provides me a job. And there was even a time that I don't have to look for a job. I was pirated. You know? I was working as a construction manager. We would work on those clients. You know, one of our clients hired me. So now, my boss, I'm now the boss of my previous boss. because it's our clients that hired me. You know? And I would tell them, come on, we're not going to finish this job. But I'll tell you this, folks. If you will just trust God, God will honor you. And God will give you true riches. God has promises to the man that fears God. You know, true riches is promised to the man that fears God. You know, I fear God most. I fear God the most in this world. If you fear God, then you won't fear men. If you fear God, you won't fear circumstances in your life. Listen, the most important thing is we fear God. And so we teach our children to fear God. Not just to obey you, not just obey the pastor. We teach our children to fear God. You know why? Because when we're not around, when they fear God, they will still follow the word of God. And you will know that they're doing right. Why? Because they fear God. True riches is promised to those who obey God's commandments and follows His will. True riches is promised to those who humble themselves before God. I have a lot of verses here in everything that I'm saying, but you know, time will not permit me. But I have all these verses right here in my outline to back those things that I'm telling to you. God, true riches is promised to those who obey God's commandments and follows His will. True riches is promised to those who humbles themselves before God. True riches is promised to those who grows in knowledge. God promised riches. The promises of God's riches is without guilt or sorrow. Proverbs 10:22. Let's look on that verse. Proverbs 10:22. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. That's the kind of true riches we want to have in our Christian life. Amen? That's the kind of riches that we want from the Lord. It's not necessarily material wealth, but the riches of the Lord. I say this, you know, if you have peace in your heart, to me, that's riches. Amen? Being able to sleep at night. Being able to sleep soundly. Being able to, you know, not to look over your shoulders and, you know, knowing that you are kept safe by the protection of God. That's a real blessing. Amen? Those are true riches in life. Those are the things that we should seek after. Not the material things of this world. God promised riches. The riches that God promised to us is without guilt or sorrow. Our concern, therefore, is not to be rich, but to be faithful. I have another verse here in Proverbs 28, verse 20. Proverbs 28, verse 20, the Bible says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Amen? That's the blessings of God. God never commanded us in the Bible to become rich. It even warns us not to. Our goal in life is to seek God first and let God everything else in our lives. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, some people, they look for the addition, not the main thing. The main thing is we should seek God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Those are just additionals. Those are just added things. God wants us to focus on the main thing. And that is to seek God first. Seek Him first and His righteousness. And how do we do that? Listen, by walking with God. Being faithful to the Lord. Being faithful in church. Serving the Lord. Amen? Having a ministry in the church. I look at Pastor Johnston. He's a busy man. You know what? Listen, he needs your help. He needs somebody to lead the singing here. Or maybe you have a song leader. Right? He needs somebody to do that. He needs somebody to take some things off him so that he can concentrate, the Bible says, in preaching and in prayer. How would you like your pastor praying for you longer? How would you like your pastor focusing on praying for you? Amen. You know what happened in the book of Acts? That's the reason why they had deacons, because they want to get the work off the pastor in serving tables, because they need to concentrate on preaching. They need to concentrate in praying. The two main duties of a pastor. He is not to clean the church. I remember when we were starting the church, we were renting a community center, and we need to put things away. Just like you do, I guess. You know, we go there in the morning, arrange things. After the service, we put things away, right? And there was a time that I was doing that, and my two boys. And I would have to wake them up early in the morning. Come on, we need to prepare things for church. And we would do that for years. But I praise the Lord, God gave me men that are now doing the job. We're not putting things away anymore because we have a space that we have 24/7. But what I'm saying is, here is this. Listen. If you are truly blessed by God, seek the kingdom of God, serve God in any capacity that you can. I challenge our young people, learn an instrument. Learn. I want to have an orchestra. And boy, I have a lot of young people. They learn to play the violin. They play the guitar. One even came up with a cello. You know? You know him, right? He came up to me, Pastor, I want to play the cello. At first he came to me and said, Pastor, I want to learn how to play the harp. But he's a short guy, you know. He said, are you sure you want to play the harp? Yes, I like to learn how to play the harp. Are you sure? Yeah. You know what? I don't think that's for you, because I believe there are some strings you cannot reach. So he ended up learning to play the cello, which is still a big instrument, right? So anyway, if that's what you want, then, you know. Now, he plays the cello well in church. Amen. Listen to me. I challenge you. Seek God first in your life. He will fill your life with riches. Riches untold. Riches that you cannot explain, because it will give you peace in your heart. I tell you, seek God first. Amen. You know, seek His kingdom. Serve Him. If you do that and you're unhappy, come back to me. Yeah. Come on. Pastor, I'm not happy. I guarantee you will never come back to me with that. You will come back to me and say, Pastor, thank you for challenging me. Now I have true riches in my heart, serving God. I'm coming now to my last point. The greatest riches we can ever have is to have God in us. The greatest riches we can ever have is to have God in us. Psalm 73, if you will. Psalm 73, verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside me. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The greatest riches we have is that we have God in us. Amen. I tell my people, you know, you don't have to face life with fear, just like the Lord Jesus Christ tells us not to worry about tomorrow. Right? Amen. You know, because we are secure in the hands of God. We don't have to fear anything. I tell them, what's the worst that could happen? Come on, tell me. What's the worst that could happen to us, Christians? We die. Right? I don't think there's anything worse than that. We're going to die. But you know what the Bible says about dying? For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Listen, if you are a child of God, you have nothing to lose in this life. Amen? God has given us things that we can enjoy our Christian lives. If you are a member of this church, God has given you one good gift in your life, and that is your pastor. You have teachers, God has given you teachers. That came from God, it's for your own good. Amen? It's a gift from God. And we should cherish and love the gift that comes from God. Great riches that we have is to have God in us. Amen. If we have God, we are assured that we will always have what we needed. For my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's God's promise. That's something, you know, just to recite. It is something that we can claim because God is always true with His promises. I tell you, I came from a poor family, and ever since I got saved, the Lord has continued to bless my life because I claim the promises of God. God is so good. God is so wonderful. He gives us true riches. If we have God, we are assured that there will be contentment, if you will be content. That is why we need to learn to enjoy this life without the need for so much material things. And I tell our members in our church, as Christians, enjoy your Christian life. Serve Him. Amen? God's plan is not for you to have problems upon problems. Give your problems to God and serve the Lord. Amen? There's a story about an old fisherman, and he was lying down on the sand beside his boat. And this guy is a Harvard graduate businessman. He told the fisherman, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm enjoying the afternoon. I'm done catching fish." And he said, "Why don't you do this? Why don't you catch some more fish?" And then the fisherman said, "For what?" "Well, if you catch some more, you're going to earn more. And then what? You can buy more boats, right? And catch more fish. And then what? You're going to be rich. And then what? Then you're going to enjoy your life." And the fisherman looked at him. "Is that not what I'm doing right now? I'm enjoying my life." Amen? Listen, there are true riches that God can give to us. Without God in your life, your riches will only be your source of misery. I'm going to close with this story. There was a certain family in a certain church. It was 1946. During that time, you know, there's a lot of poor families. And there was this poor family, and there were three girls in the family and the mother. The father has died a few years back. And the pastor announced that there's going to be a sacrificial giving for a poor family. So they were there in the church, and they look at each other, and they said, "We want to give to this poor family." So what they did is they bought 50 pounds of potato. That will be their food for a month, and that would save them $20. And they thought of, you know, making some things to sell that would make them more money. They would turn down a part of the electricity so that, you know, they can earn more money. So they were able to save $70, and they were so happy because now they will be part of the sacrificial giving, and they said they'll be able to help that poor family. And so they were excited. They were seated down at the church, and they were holding the money. The offering came, mother gave the $10, the three girls gave 20 each to the offering, and they were so happy. And they were thinking, you know, with that, we could probably have a lot of money, because just us family giving $80, probably there's going to be a lot of money in the sacrificial giving. So when the giving was announced, they had about 100. There were one $10 bill, three $20 bills, and 17 $1 bills. So they were happy. So they went home happy. That afternoon, the pastor came to their house, knocked at the door, and the mother, you know, answered the door and talked to the pastor. And the three girls were looking out the window. They saw the pastor handed their mother an envelope. When she got home, she opened the envelope. There were the money in the sacrificial giving. You know what? That made them very sad. I'm going to read here the rest of the article. The lady said, "Mother always taught us that we're not poor. We have always believed that we're rich. Eating potatoes for 1 month is an enjoyable thing to do. We always believed that we're rich. Mama told us we're rich. That Easter, that day, I found out we were poor. Because we were that poor family. We didn't realize that it was our family the pastor was talking about. The minister had brought us the money for the poor family, so we must be poor. I didn't like being poor. I looked at my dress and worn out shoes and felt so ashamed I didn't even want to go back to church. Everyone there probably already knew we were poor. I thought about the school and thought, I won't go back to school because people will look at me as a poor girl. Mom said, don't worry, you know, just continue what you're doing. So that Sunday, they went to church. Mom started to sing, but no one joined in. The kids were not singing because now they realize they're poor. They thought they were rich. And at church, they had a missionary speaker. He talked about how churches in Africa made buildings out of sun, dried bricks, but they needed money to buy roofs. He said $100 would put a roof on a church. The minister said, can't we all sacrifice to help these poor people? The kids looked at each other, smiled for the first time in weeks. Mom reached into her purse and pulled out the envelope. She passed it to Darlene, the name of one of the ladies. Darlene gave it to me, and I handed it to OC. OC put it in the offering. When the offering was counted, the minister announced that it was a little over $100. The missionary was excited. He hadn't expected such a large offering from our small church, he said. You must have some rich people in this church. Suddenly, it struck us. We had given $87 of that little over 100. We were the rich family in the church. Amen. Hadn't the missionary said so? From that day on, I've never been poor again. I've always remembered how rich I am because I have Jesus. Listen to me, Christians. You have Jesus. You're the richest person in this world. As a rich person, you can do so much for God. As a rich Christian, you can do so much for the kingdom of God. Amen. Don't think yourself poor because you have true riches from God. Amen. And God wants you to serve Him in your riches. Amen.